our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Amen. Y'all have it up? No? Almost. Okay. This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. Praise God. People, that's just not just words that we say, and I know we say it, but it's words that, Lord, penetrate my heart. There's nothing else like the Word of God, people, that can penetrate the heart of any individual. I tell you, the Word of God changes people's hearts and changes people's lives. I know last Sunday, I kind of want to a little bit continue on Elijah. Last week we talked about Elijah and the drying up the, how he spoke about the rain and stuff that would be halted for 3.5 years, and how God, the deluge of rain came, when he spoke it forth and stuff. And I kind of want to continue a little bit about Elijah because I find him very fascinating. I'm telling you, just fascinated by what God has done in this man and is doing, with what, and he's still, we'll get to that, but still doing in his life, even though he was alive thousands of years ago upon the earth. But we know that Elijah was a prophet called by God. And we still have prophets today, and I've asked God to send us prophets. I've said, Lord, it's in your fivefold ministry. It's for the church today. Send us prophets here in this church. Now, prophets that I can trust. Amen. I'm not talking about anybody that comes through the walls. No. I don't hang with that stuff. But true prophets of God that know God, that live right, and is doing what is God calling them to do. But so we have to remember the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're still for today. They're still, even though we might not see a lot of apostles or prophets and all that, or evangelists even, honestly. You see a lot of pastors and teachers. But these people can go, you can be called as a pastor, but God may anoint you to be a teacher. Or he could anoint you even to be a prophet. Okay, so you can be more than one, God is the one that anoints. God is the one that appoints. Okay, man does not appoint. That's why you have so many churches. I mean, can you imagine if we had to vote every year? If you had to vote, if you wanted me to be your pastor every year, I know I'd get 100%. That's not. Yeah, might have a few little. I don't know. We love you guys, but I know we'd get 100%. But can you imagine if the pastor had to ask the sheep if he could be there or she another year? Don't you think something's backwards? That's not how it's supposed to be run. The pastor God appoints, and he appoints for whatever amount of years. We have Pastor Wells coming, and he was a pastor for 20-something years. He didn't start the church. It was another guy that started the church. And then after a few years, Pastor Wells came, and he stayed there for 20-something years, and then now there's another pastor there. But you see, he left when God told him to, when it was time. So you see, anointed by the Spirit of God. We got to realize this. As a body of believers and the body of Christ, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we got to be very careful when we say, thus saith the Lord. Because you say that, and look. Some, we have all made mistakes. We've all missed it sometimes, but we've all hit it too sometimes. And I think we've hit it more than we've missed, and God knows. And sometimes it is hard to decide, Lord, are you speaking to me? Lord, help me to understand the voice of the Spirit of our God. It says in scriptures that My people know my voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. It says it now. We know, and we, you know, we're to know the voice of our God as He leads us and guides us and helps us to do the things that He wants us to do. You know, that's the power of Almighty God. But here we see Elijah, and we're going to go back to kind of the first part of his testimony, what God did in his heart and life. I want to, I guess what I'm trying to get at today with Elijah, God saw what was coming, and God provided for Elijah. People, we don't have to worry about tomorrow or next year or the next 4 years. You don't have to worry about that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't pray and seek the face of God. But we don't have to worry about tomorrow or fear tomorrow. Here, God provided for Elijah. Even though Elijah went and spoke to the king, Ahab, and said this would come, that there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And we know when there's no rain for 3.5 years, certain things will happen upon the land. You see, that's just like a church with no spirit, the Holy Spirit. What happens when you come to a church and there's no Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God is not evident upon a church, upon a people, it dries up and nothing grows, you see? The one thing the Lord has really kind of spoken to me about was, look at the growth of your people. Look how they've grown in the Word of God. Look how they've grown in their relationship. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The power of Almighty God. But look at, if you would, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, please. 1 Kings chapter 17, page 611. 611. God spoke to Elijah about the water or the rain, that there would be none for 3.5 years. And this is what he told him. Look at verse 2. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, that means it came unto who? Elijah, okay? Get you hence and turn you eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now look at this, people. Our God is the great provider. There's no other one like him. No other one like him who will provide for his people. Provide for his people. Even for his prophets. You have to understand, as it says in verse 3, Cherith means separation. Elijah, or God, had to separate. God had to separate Elijah from Israel. Because Israel had become so evil. So evil. There was just sin and degradation upon that nation. It's like everything they did was evil in the sight of the Lord. Evil in the sight of the Lord. But God will provide even in the midst of a famine. God will provide for his church and his people. He will print money wherever he needs to print the money to get to the people, to the church where he's at and where God is flowing. God will make a way where there seems to be no way when we're where God wants us to be. Now you have to understand, if Elijah wouldn't have followed God and went to the brook Cherith, he would have probably died. or would have starved of starvation, or would have been messed up by what was going on in Jerusalem or in Judea or in Israel itself. But you see, God knows. That's why we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And God told him, look, go to that brook, which was a separation, which was north of Jerusalem. Stay there. Just stay there. It says in the latter part of that verse, I think it's the seventh or eighth verse, in the comment, they think he stayed there about 2 years. That's a long time. That's a long time without seeing somebody, huh? All you see is some birds coming around in the morning and at night. But they have your supper for you and your breakfast for you. Can you imagine? God didn't even trust people to come and take care of his prophet. That he had to choose, he had to get these ravens to come and bring bread in their beaks and the flesh that they would get so that he could cook it and to eat in the morning and at night. Our God is king over all things upon the earth. All things. That's why we can speak to the things that come with destruction of hurricanes. We can come against those things because our God is not the one that has made these things. Our God is the one that can devour those things and destroy those things. You see, our God is king. Our God is king. That he can make animals out there come and take care of us. If he chooses to do that, that's the kind of God that we serve, that will provide even in the time of famine when there's no, and have the water that he needed. My God, we got to make sure that we're walking and we're doing what God wants. And we better be where God wants us to be. I keep telling people, you better be in a church where God wants you to be. Because you will dry up. You will not flourish. You will not do what God wants. Because that's not where God wants you to be. And they think, well, just because the church is open, go to it. No, no, no. You have to be, and I have to be, where God wants us to be. So that when we're where God wants us to be, we will flourish. God will provide. God will move. God will do things that we never thought possible. He will show us things in his word. He will bring things to our memory and will do what needs to be done. When we're where God wants us to be. And sometimes it may not be where we want to be. But that's okay. But God will provide. God is the great physician. God is the great one that provides and brings provisions for his people. So he had to trust God and go to that brook. And let me tell you, as people in Judea and Jerusalem and all of Israel, because there was no water being poured out from the heavens, that God's prophet was being taken care of at the brook Cherith. He could get up in the morning and drink water. He could at noontime drink water. At evening time, he could drink water. Can you imagine? He wakes up. And all of a sudden, he sees the ravens. I don't know how many ravens come, but whatever happens, the ravens come. They're commanded by God. And when they're commanded by God, God brings the best. Let me tell you, when God provides for us, he brings the best. And those, can you imagine, he wakes up in the morning and he sees the miracle of ravens coming in. I bet you they came in at the same time every day for 2 years. They had the fresh bread. Where they got it from, I do not know. But that's okay. God can make it. If he can make wafers of honey, and it stays only a few inches off the ground for the children of Israel to go and grab and put in jars to take home to cook. Let me tell you, he can make bread in heaven and put it and say, Raven, come get that loaf of bread for my man. Let me tell you something. Men and women that are called by God, and we're all called by God. We're all called to the kingdom of God. We're all called to preach the gospel. However, it might be individually, it might be however you want to do it, whatever God calls you and I to do. But I tell you what, God will provide no matter what, because we've been called by God. And let me tell you, it may seem like only a miracle could take place, but God is in the act of miracles. God is in the business of miracles. We just got to say, okay, Lord, be where God wants us to be, and he will provide the things that we need and the things that we want and the things that we desire. Our God can do what he wants to do if we're where he wants us to be. My God, provide. He'd take a nap, wake up for supper, and there again were the ravens. Can you imagine? He didn't have to go to the store. He didn't have to put money forth. It just came. It just came. God provided. But I tell you what, for those 2 years, he looked to God. And every time he woke up, his faith grew. Every time for breakfast, his faith grew. Every time for supper, his faith grew. Every time he looked at that body of water, knowing there were people out there that didn't have water, because the water there was no rain. Every time he took water in his hand or in his cup, his faith grew. That's just like us, people, because he knew God was in control, people. God was in control. Hallelujah. Don't we know our God is in control? Let me tell you, I don't wake up in the morning and say, Lord, will our church be there tomorrow? I don't worry about that stuff. Because you know why? It's in the palm of his hand. It will be here to eternity. Amen. And hopefully when we go, somebody will come in during those 7 years and preach the gospel. Amen. You see, I don't worry about that stuff. We have the peace of God that transcends all understanding from the Word of God. Look, don't let worry get you down. Don't worry about the things of the world. Don't worry about the shot. Don't worry about COVID-19. Don't worry about all that stuff. I'm not saying don't wear a mask. That's up to you. I've always said that. It's up to you. If you want to, thank you. I know some places we have to. If we want what's inside. Some places you don't. You're okay, hey, look. But I tell you what, our God will provide. Don't worry. Because it does not add a single day or minute to your life. It actually probably maybe cuts off some. Because we were never made to worry. We were made to trust God. Trust him. Trust him. And we need to trust God with all things. God provided for him. Now look at this. We got to move when God says move sometimes. But it better be God. After 2 years, something started to happen. The brook started to dry up. And God told Elijah, it's time to go. I'm sure Elijah said, what? Are you sure? I mean, you know, you get used to living a life after 2 years of somebody bringing you groceries. You know, I mean, you don't have to tip them. You don't have to pay for it. I mean, they just bring you the groceries. After 2 years, you know, you get used to being in a certain scenario at a certain time. And when God started to speak to him, he's saying, okay, now. And I know probably before that brook started to dry up, because you can imagine no rain for 2 years at that time, okay, that it started to dry up because there was no water to be provided into that brook. God knew the timing. But I tell you what, I bet you God spoke to to him even before it started to dry up. There was starting to be an uneasiness. There was starting to be an urgency on the inside of his heart that it was almost time to go. But he said, Lord, give me direction. Give me help. Help me, Lord, to do what you want me to do, Father. And Lord, you know, and so we got to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And we got to make sure. Because I tell you what, if he would have left a day earlier, he wouldn't have been in the will of God.
Right.
Now, he can repent, ask God to forgive, and God will. But we got to make sure we're where God wants us to be, the job that God wants us to have, you know, to live where God wants us to live, you know, to do the things that God wants us to do. Because, you see, we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. So we're not our own anymore. We are God's people. And I know people say, well, I'm going to do what I want. No, 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 no. As Christians, we are Christ-like. We cannot do what we want to do.
Amen.
What if I got up on a Sunday morning and said, I don't want to preach? Well, okay. You think that would please God? No. You think God would be disappointed? Yes. Would he say, now, Joe, get up and go do what you need to do? Yes. But you see, we have our wills. But you see, our will should never override God's will or the Holy Spirit's will. We have to do what God wants us to do. And always remember, when God speaks, it always will line up with the Word.
Amen.
Always. God started to speak to him and to move. And here we see, let's read verse 8 and 9 and 10. It says, and the of that same chapter, and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise you to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And we'll just stop there because I want to. Here we see I'll throw this at you. He went and he met a little widow. God was tired of blessing those ravens. He blessed those ravens. Now they probably lived so long. God provided for those ravens because they were providing under the command of the Holy Spirit. Animals and stuff out there are not worth what we're worth.
Amen.
Human beings are the most important thing to God.
Yes.
And he saw a little widow woman, and he had a year and a half left because it was going to be 3.5 years. Timing, people. This little widow woman, she was a Gentile. You know the story in the New Testament where about the Gentile, you know, they wouldn't even go through the city of a Gentile. I mean, they'd go, when a Jew would see a Gentile coming, the Jew would go this way and wouldn't even pass by the Gentile. They considered Gentiles dogs. Dogs. Like zero. That's us. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, no matter what nationality you are. And now God had to do a mighty work in them, because God had to do a lot of work in Peter and Paul and stuff. But here we see this little Gentile woman was out fetching some sticks. And what she was doing was fetching sticks to go and light up the furnace. Or the oven. And to make the last cakes that she had for her and her son. See, sometimes we don't realize that God listens to every prayer, especially of his people. He's not hard of hearing when it comes down to his people. You need to listen to this. He doesn't put his ears in his fingers in his ears. And says, I don't want to hear from my people. Now he's listening for prayers that are coming from the heart of his people, and not just to bolster themselves up. But he saw this little Gentile woman, an elderly woman, that had a child there with her, probably a grandchild of some kind. And he saw that she was out of food almost. The Holy Spirit could see in her barrels that there was only a little oil and a little bit of cornmeal. God provides. And here we see, she probably called out to God and said, King of kings and Lord of lords, help me. Can you imagine on your mind that your last cake, your last oil, you feed it to your grandchild, if you want to, or they say son, but it could be grandchild. And you know there's nothing else. Zero. Probably none of us have been to that place. I know I listened to my mom and probably your parents and stuff about how hard it was back then, huh? I mean, you know, I've listened to my grandmother in Lafayette speak about how they were in lines, you know, soup lines trying to get food, because back in those times it just wasn't a lot, in the 20s and 30s and stuff like that, 40s. You know, we've never seen that again. Honestly, we probably have too much. We have a lot. But it says that he called out to that little widow woman as she was fetching those sticks, go get me a glass of water. And she looked at him and she noticed something was different. And she went and she got the water, Holy Spirit. And she brought him the water. And he said, by the way, when you go in the house, I know you only have a little bit of cornmeal and a little bit of oil. Make me a cake. She noticed there was something different because it's the man of God. But she knew if she made that cake with that oil and cornmeal, that if she gave it to him, they would die. But there was something probably on the inside of her, people. That's the difference. When a spark of the Holy Spirit says, but you got to do it. You got to do it. And she walked up and she said, okay. And she walked in there and she took the cornmeal out. I mean, she probably, every little grain of it, because she wanted to do what was right. And took that oil, every little bit she had, poured it in the pan. Made the cake, put it in there, fried it up. And she took him the water and the cake. You think her heart was, she probably passed by the grandson. I mean, you know, this is serious stuff. This is life and death. Even though we know if we die, we go to heaven, but it's still life and death. And she went to that prophet and gave it to him. And he ate it. And she went back to her house. And for some reason, probably, she went back and she looked in that cornmeal barrel and there was some in it. That's the miracle of God. He is the great provider. When it seems like there's nothing left in the barrel, when it seems like there's nothing left in the checkbook, when it seems like there's nothing left in the drawers all over the house, of pennies and nickels and quarters and even in the car somewhere, when there's nothing left, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. The great provider for us. The great provider. And it seems like she kept making cakes every day for her grandson, and the prophet providing. God made a way where there seems to be no way. And he said before that, fear not. People, don't fear what God puts upon your heart to do. Because if he puts something upon your heart to do, do it. Because in doing it, you might be scared. Yes, I understand. But do it. because he will provide. He will do. He will make a way. He will make a sound way for you no matter what. That's the kind of God we serve. Elisha, the prophet, was sustained for a year and a half by a widow. That means her husband died. She had no income, probably. And she had someone else beside herself to provide for. And God came in with Social Security for her and made a way where there seems to be no way. He said, "You're disabled, I'll give you what you need." My Lord. My God. And she even made a room for him. You can read some other stuff. You see, God will provide no matter what. Elisha, the prophet. My God. Look, can you imagine that year and a half there? She'd get up every morning and go and look and see a miracle. Every evening she'd look in there, a miracle. You might say, "Well, I wonder if they got tired of eating the same thing over and over." Let me tell you, when you have nothing, it doesn't matter what it is. You know? You ever opened up the cabinet or the refrigerator and it's full of stuff? And you say, "I don't know what I'm going to eat." Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Mr. Hector, we've all been there. Hey, we've all... Oh, man, I mean, seriously full, huh? Okay. How God provides. Let me tell you, Elisha, and I'm about to close. Elisha never died a normal death upon the earth. It says that Elisha and Enoch are the two witnesses. The two witnesses in the great tribulation. You know, the rapture will take place. We'll go with Christ. And then the tribulation will start. And then it says after that, that during the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, there will be two witnesses that will come in Jerusalem and that will prophesy to the people of Jerusalem, which is the people of all of Israel. And what they're prophesying, they say they prophesy for 3.5 years. Because it says these are the only two that have never died that we know of a normal death. Remember Enoch and Elisha, they're in a whirlwind, and they were caught up, and they transformed into heaven. That's what it says. They were never in a coffin. And it says they will be prophesying for that 3.5 years, and all of a sudden, as they're prophesying, if anybody comes against them, it says fire will come out of their mouth. Water will be turned into blood. I mean, all kinds of things. Then after, right at the end of that 3.5 years, it says they just die. And their bodies are on the street. That's coming events, people. On the streets, these two guys. And for 3.5 days, the people that he prophesied to, they say all kind of things against them. They do all kind of things to their bodies. And after 3.5 days, it says the Spirit of God comes back into their bodies. Can you imagine? Somebody dead, and all of a sudden they pop up. And all of a sudden, they went back into heaven. Wow. The power of God. See, you might say, "Well, why would God do that for 3.5 years? The love of God to prophesy and to try to bring Israel back to him. So here we see Elisha still alive with no earthly death, and Enoch, no earthly death, still in heaven waiting to come back for that time. Do we see how God will provide for us no matter what happens? God is the great provider. We can trust him. We can look to him. And he will provide in every which way that we need of upon this earth as we trust in him. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed for just a minute, please, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? I don't know where everybody is in their walk with the Lord. But if you've never accepted him or you'd like to rededicate your heart to the Lord this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you?